Today's scripture lesson is going to be one you may not have heard before. It's going to be a tricky one to find in the Bible, so pay attention when I tell you. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Perhaps you don't know this one yet. It sets right in between 22 and 24. For the sermon titled Sit Down. Sit period. Down period. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Sure, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. God add His blessings to those words. As we seek Him in prayer, join with me, please. Father, give us the discernment to stop, look, and listen to today's word and to draw from it, to glean from it, that it would be full, Father, that we would set aside anything that we have other than right here, right now, anticipating a sermon that will remind us, strengthen us, teach us, and perhaps rebuke us. Let it come out of me, Father, Your words, and come back to You ever fuller. And we use it to straighten our walk, to shine the light of Christ, and to help others find Him as well. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. Seems to me like I'm going to need some volunteers. Perhaps somebody saw me carry a bow, an arrow, and an apple in. And since everybody else is looking at the floor in their shoes, and I see two hands raised up, I will invite them to come up here. Stand. This is a perfect example, isn't it, of standing. This is a prime example of the world and a constant need for certain things. And you look at these two, and they just, sit down! Well, that wasn't very nice, was it? Stand back up again. That wasn't nice at all, was it? Hear those words like that? I kind of saw some people back there in the pew sit down, even though they were already sitting down. Let me try something here. I love you. You look tired. Would you please sit down? I love you. You look tired. Would you please sit down? Now, let me ask you a question. Which one would you rather hear? Which one?
Second.
The second. Jesus Christ talks to us in that manner. The world talks to us the other way. Thank you, boys. Put those chairs back. And it's funny, too. It's funny how we view certain things. That we have always got to be in a hurry. And that we've always got to be going, 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 going. Now I need another volunteer. No, I'm only kidding. I have to tell you, it was pretty funny when Alan brought me these Honey Crisp apples. I just wanted to show the apple off. I'm nearly not going to try the William Tell thing. A bow and an arrow. What does this teach us about sitting down? Allow me to demonstrate. We've all heard of the man they call Aesop, right? Say amen.
Amen.
Everybody's heard of Aesop's fables. Aesop was quite a storyteller, and one day in ancient Greece, a man from Athens, an Athenian as they were known to be called, there again, I'm educating you, I'll never stop, happened to notice that Aesop was gathered around with the children and telling them his stories and talking to them. And the man came up and rebuked him. He said, with all the world has, with all the work that needs to be done, how is it that you are sitting here playing with these little children? How in the world are you doing that? You're wasting your time. You're foolish. And Aesop stood up for a minute, and he walked over and he picked up a bow, and he did this. And he laid them on the ground. He said, now I'm going to ask you, explain to me what the unstrung bow means. Explain to me what the riddle of the unstrung bow is. The man couldn't figure it out. He felt that it was foolish. He walked away, but before he did, Aesop said to him, if one leaves a bow strung in complete readiness all the time, eventually the bow will break. But if one unstrings the bow every now and then and gives it rest, one will be sure that the bow will be there every single time you go to get it. Brothers and sisters, that is sit down. All our lives, and more so now today than ever, is charged with high speed action, with going as fast as we can. We don't sit down. We don't take a minute. Aesop showed this man in that moment that if we're constantly do that, we will eventually break. People are like that. That's why we need the time to take a rest. In Scripture, Jesus prescribed time off for his weary disciples. God set a pattern for us when in Genesis he said what? When the Bible says what? He, God, rested from his work. Rested. It's kind of funny when we think about it, isn't it? What are we celebrating tomorrow? Labor Day. How many people are planning on going to a sale tomorrow? Probably. How many people are planning on doing something active tomorrow on Labor Day? Do you realize what Labor Day is supposed to mean? In 1894, it became a federal holiday to give the workers what? Rest. To celebrate the labor force that drives this country. One day out of the week, or out of the year. Sit down. And what has it become? It has become the second biggest, sales holiday in this country, second only to Black Friday. That's kind of funny, ain't it? On the day we're supposed to be resting. Hey, I got one for you. Denny Cross ain't here today. I was talking to him earlier this week. See, he delivers mattresses for Mattress Warehouse, and he was telling me they are so busy right now, it's unbelievable. Do you know why? Because Labor Day weekend is the largest selling weekend. Labor Day, the day you're supposed to rest, the day when all the workforce is supposed to sit still, is the largest selling day for mattresses in the United States. Now, is that funny or what? On the day you're supposed to take the biggest rest, they got people working extra hours to sell mattresses. What is wrong with us? We have forgotten to sit down. And not the way the world says. Not the way the first example came out. Not sit down. Sit down. Have a rest for a moment. Sit down. A lot of people, when they look at that, they look at that scripture, they find themselves thinking of a funeral. Truth is, that scripture leads us to the thought of what is yet to come. Mark chapter 6, we were in a couple weeks ago. I want to remind you of some scripture from that. And in the 30th verse, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even get a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me. Buy yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat. They went to sit down. Picture this, if you will. Jesus Christ, and you're one of the 12 disciples. We just heard earlier on, if you go back and read that scripture, Jesus sent them out and said, do what? He said, cast out demons, heal, save, talk about me, be disciples in my name. I give every bit of power that I have to you. And they went out and got to work. And I'll tell you what, the work was every bit as hard as putting up that last load of hay. You know where the last load of hay always winds up in the middle of summer? Anybody in here ever farmed? Where's that last load of hay always wind up? Right next to the barn roof. And if you're the dumb kid in the family, where do you wind up stacking hay? In the barn next to the roof, where everybody else is down there throwing it on the elevator or drinking from the garden hose or yelling at you because you're not keeping up with it. That's hard work, ain't it? Anybody ever put up hay in the summer? Put your hands up if you have. Say amen. That ain't nothing compared to what he had them do. And then they came back and they had been away and they had worked hard. And Jesus noticed this. He said, come here a minute. Sit down. Sit down here with me. Stop. Just for a minute. I want you to sit down. I want you to relax. You know, the truth is, when we come down to it, we just need to sit still sometimes for a minute. Lately, I have just took notice after I was finishing this, I was looking back over a few other notes. My sermons are doing something that I did not plan. They are starting to theme up on something. We've been paying attention to the scripture a little closer. We've been working a little harder, and we're working in a theme towards taking a rest. An honest to goodness, sit down for a moment, rest. The well-known Quaker George Fox used to say, carry some quiet time around inside thee. Be still and cool in thy own mind and spirit from thy own thoughts. Then thou wilt feel the principles of God to turn thy mind to the Lord from whence cometh life, whereby thou mayest receive the strength and power to allay storms and tempests. In other words, unstring the bow. Sit down. That's what he said. I wish my tongue doesn't work for the King's English. I'm sorry, when we start that thee and thou stuff, I kind of feel like Daffy Duck because I start spitting everywhere. But what he says in essence is, turn yourself from your thoughts. My yard, when we were going out the driveway, I've been trimming trees when I get 5 or 10 minutes here and there. And when I trim the branches, I just let them drop and go back and clean up later. And I've been going 100 miles an hour, so I'm dropping branches all over the yard. And then I blew the tire out of the mower, so I haven't mowed the grass. And I've been running here and running there. And the grass is starting to look a little tall, and the branches are all over the place. And as we were going out this morning, my lovely wife with a toothache went, this place looks like a hurricane hit it. And I started to get worried about it. I was like looking around. I was like, man, I guess after church, I got to come home and get to work on this and work on that. And work on. Oh, yeah. I need to sit down. Those things will take care of themselves. I'll get the grass cut. I'll get the limbs cleaned up. But we allow those things sometimes to carry us into a place that takes us away from quietness. Quietness. And when we do that, we lose sight of the things around us. One of the greatest architects to ever come out in our time was a man by the name of Frank Lloyd Wright. I pretty near reckon everybody in here has heard of Frank Lloyd Wright. I have been to the Frank Lloyd Wright house up in Pennsylvania. I know where there are examples of it everywhere. And people today see Frank Lloyd Wright examples and don't even realize you're looking at it. The words cantilever comes pretty much from him. In the way he built houses that defied things. Frank Lloyd was a great mind. A little nutty at times, but us geniuses, me included, we are a little bit crazy. And if you make fun of me, I will reenact William Tell up here. He said when he was 9 years old, he came to a turning point in his life. He said he was walking with his uncle one day through the woods to observe a point in nature that his uncle wanted him to observe, and a pretty good distance. Frank wrote about this. He said, I was 9 years old walking with my extremely upright, stoic, reserved uncle. And when we got to the point at which we were going in the winter, my uncle turned around and he pointed back. He said to me, Frank, look at behind you. Tell me what you see. And I could see a set of tracks that were my uncle's perfectly straight from the time we entered to the point we were at. And then I saw my tracks everywhere. He said, Frank, I want you to take a notice of something. He said, as I walked straight toward my goal, never looking left, never looking right, straight at where I was going. But here you wandered over to the fence and then to the cows and over to this tree and over to those leaves and chased a squirrel over here and yours went back and forth. Frank, you should be more like me, completely focused on where you're going. Frank Lloyd Wright said at that point, he vowed to never again ever forget to stop, sit down, and see the experience life is teaching him. We work at things way too fast, way too hard. And it's not just because we don't do it on purpose. Sometimes it's how it comes to us. You know, I'm looking up here in front of me, and here, look at this little thing here that Greg uses to record the sermons with. You see this? This is a digital recorder.
Hello?
And the people that aren't here get to hear that. Everybody say, amen.
Amen.
You think they heard that on there? That was pitiful. Say it again.
Amen.
Now, your voices are trapped on that thing forever. And Greg will upload those things onto the internet, and they'll go out to whomever wants to pipe on there and take a listen, and he'll make CDs and send them out to the people that aren't here, and they'll get a chance to listen to it. That thing records everything that's going on. 5 years ago, the recorder was this big. 15 years ago, we used, remember, cassette tapes, where you had to kind of, and listen, no, that's not the right spot. Listen, no, that's not the right spot. You can pick out your spots on these things. We have cell phones. I got one now that does everything on it. I laid it on the steering wheel the other day and said, drive my truck. I hadn't gotten that far yet because the trooper asked what I was doing. I said, well, I hit the tree, but I didn't mean to. So we have invented ways to make ourselves go faster. And along the way, we've forgotten the most important thing. Sit down. The scripture in Psalm 23, it's all about rest. People miss that. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I do this scripture at funerals because that's a comfort scripture. And a lot of people want to hear, they want to hear those words. And yet they don't listen. The scripture is for today, for the living, for the reminder that the Lord has rest for you here and now. That no matter what is going, the tempest, the troubles, the carrying on, everything that's in front of you, what does that scripture say? He puts a table for you to sit down and relax at in front of your enemies as they are trying to beat you in the ground. And while he's there, I love the one, anoints my head with oil till I overflow. It's also about that final rest. When we leave this craziness and go home, what we'll have. But it's a reminder for us to sit down. He wants us to sit down and see what a rest will accomplish. Two men were once working together in a situation to have a wood chopping contest. Now let me explain to you about me and chopping wood. When I was a little boy, my father and I had a wood chopping contest every year at Thanksgiving. Because you see, my dad didn't work on Thanksgiving morning. So from the time I was about 10 years old until I left home, Thanksgiving morning was devoted to, if I wasn't milking at the farm, we would go and get trees that were down out in the woods and bring them home to prepare for the winter. We'd go find fallen trees and we'd drag them home. He drove the truck, I drove the tractor. We'd go out and cut them into lengths, drag them up on the old 1947 and a half Chevrolet ton and a half flatbed. And once the truck got loaded,
I drove the truck back. I never had figured that part out. He got to drive it out when it was easy. I drove it back when it was hard. And I asked him about that one time. He said, "You're learning something, ain't you, boy?" "Yeah." "Well, all right, then be quiet." So when we got back to the house, we had a job. We had an old buck saw and a farm away. We'd hook the tractor to the buck saw, and we'd start sawing off lengths. Some lengths would go into a pile to be split, and some were just right, and they'd go into a pile to be stacked. The split pile we'd take care of later on. But the stack pile, we'd have to stack. And so after we got done going through this, we'd start stacking up wood. And the deal always was that when I could beat my father, I could go on in the house and get warm, smell that turkey, maybe go in and get a sample, and Dad would have to gas the tractor, put it away, roll the belt, oil the blade, put the truck away, make sure everything was shut down, everything was good. That was the deal. If I beat him, two equal piles, if I beat him, I'm in the house first. 10 years old, we started doing this. Let me tell you what, I left my house when I was 18 years old. Ask me if I ever got in that house first. No! Years later, I kind of figured it out. His pile was always considerably smaller than mine. My dad is not stupid. But it seems these two fellows wanted to have a wood chopping contest. And they was going to measure up the end of the day who chopped the most wood. And so they went at it, and one fellow, boy, he just picked up that axe and started hammering along. He got to lunchtime, he stopped and sat down for a minute, had his dinner, got back up, started hammering along again. But the other fellow kept taking breaks along the way. He kept sitting down. And when they got done, they measured it up, and the fellow what had sat down had chopped more wood than the fellow that had worked all day. And he couldn't understand it. And he challenged him on it. He said, "What you may not have noticed when I was taking a rest was I was sharpening my axe." You understand? Sit down. Take a moment. Recharge. Reinvigorate yourself. Come back to where you once were. We got to let ourselves fire up a little bit. I know that the word is always work as hard as you can. Yes, that's true. I'll never take that away. Work as hard as you can. I get challenged quite often. "Paul, how in the world do you work the hours you do and then come here and do all this and all that and all this?" Because I do take a rest. I am the laziest person you've ever seen. We talked about that. If my backside starts to get near my easy chair and that electromagnetic field pulls my backside, woo, and my butt hits that chair, I'm done. Got the remote in hand, got tractor videos to watch, no more work for Polypoo. But until I sit down, it's go, 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 go. Then when I get up, I'm feeling pretty good. Let's go get into something. Let's go try something. But the point is, you have to sit down. And it's not the kind of sit down that the world wants, where they want you to sit down and listen to them. It's the kind of sit down that Jesus Christ said, "I want you to rest in me. I want you to sit down and know me. I want you to be closer to me." Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He even says it to him. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Whatever happened to Sunday? Whatever happened to sitting down on Sunday? God bless you. My grandparents tell a story. Well, they told the story. They both gone on now. They had come home from church and they was having supper. They had dinner on the table, fried chicken, coleslaw, green beans, the whole fare. And they got done eating. Now, this was many years back. And they got done eating and they decided they was just going to get up from the table and drive off to go visit someone. Some family member, whatever. And they did, and they drove off. Left everything there. They come back because the person they went to visit wasn't home. And they come back and they started noticing
things were a little different than the way they left it. And it wasn't too long until my grandmother was cleaning up, and the telephone rang, and she picked it up. And it was the people they went to visit. And on the other end of the line, they said, "Hey, we came by to visit you, but you weren't home. But we saw that you had supper or dinner laid out, so we sat down and helped ourselves, and it was real good, and we'll talk to you after a bit." What's happened to those days when everybody's in such a hurry? When we can't take 5 minutes. When we can't sit down. Maybe sitting down is going to the nursing home and seeing somebody you ain't seen for a spell. Maybe sitting down is picking up the phone and calling somebody and talking to them. Maybe sitting down is just what it is. Sit down. Open up the scripture and just take a moment and look at something. Anything. Or maybe just sit down and thank the Lord above that you can. Leonardo da Vinci once said, "Every now and then, go away. Have a little relaxation. When you come back to your work, your judgment will be sure, since to remain constantly at work will cause you to lose the power of judgment. Go some distance away, because then the work appears smaller and more of it can be taken in at a glance, and a lack of harmony and proportion is more readily seen. The day is coming when we will live these words. And so I ask you, turn back to Psalm chapter 23. All of you, get it in your Bibles. And when you have it ready, stand up, please, if you are able. But I want everybody to read that verse, or recite it if you know it by memory. I don't care what translation you're using, it'll still sound joyful. But Psalm 23, I want to say that together. "The Lord is my shepherd." Come on, say it. "I shall not want." Let me hear it. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Sit down. Rest. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there's so many things that we have to do. So many places that we want to be. So many, just, we want to go, go, go all the time. In this world today, it's, we got to run the child here. We got to go over here and do this. We got to go, 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 go. And You're telling us that's wonderful. But it leads to nothing if we don't sit down and rest for a moment. Remind us, Father, the riddle of the unstrung bow. Remind us, Father, of the two woodchoppers and how they sharpen as they rest. Remind us, Father, that You call to Your disciples, "Come here and sit down and rest." We know You have so much more work for us to do. We know that there are so many things yet to be done for the glory of the kingdom, for those that are lost, to draw them in, to prepare the way. And then that day will come when we will hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. It's time for you to come home." But until then, Father, let us be in balance. Let us work for all we're worth and rest. Let us have the ability to simply sit down. We thank You, Father, for Jesus Christ, the author of perfection, the blood that He spilt that paid our way. We will never be able to put that back but by honoring His teachings, His words, and Scripture, and His lessons, Father, we lift up what He has done for us every minute. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.